Galatians chapter 5. We will get through this. We will get through this fruit of the Spirit if it's the last thing we do. Galatians chapter 5. Let's go ahead and read the verses that we've been looking at here, verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Dear God, we pray tonight once more before we really get into your word here that you would help us keep our minds on you and your word. And you would just help us draw closer to you and our fellowship, be who you want us to be. And just help me as I preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit here, and we've already dealt with love, joy, peace. And we come tonight to long-suffering. And you know, when you look at this slate here and you look at this fruit, I think all of us can look at this and we can see areas in our life and we can say, boy, I need to work there, I need to work there, I need to work there. And I don't know about you, but of all of these here on this list, not that I would say that I had perfectly mastered everything here, but I find myself falling behind in long-suffering more than any other. And maybe it's not that way with you. Maybe you are a very long-suffering person. I don't know. I just know with me, this is one that I have a hard time with. I find it so easy to get in the flesh and to expect things of people that God doesn't expect of them. You ever do that? You ever just think, come on, let's go now. Come on, let's get up here. You need a little smacking around now. Let's go. And then you you realize, man, what must I look like to God? What about the long suffering that He's had toward me? I just know that I'm just telling you, your pastor is being just trying to be transparent with you tonight and tell you long suffering is the one that that I find I need the most work on so often. And maybe that's the case with you. But we're going to look at that tonight. Long-suffering, maybe we'll make it to gentleness and goodness, but probably not because we've only been able to get one done each sermon. So we'll just see what happens tonight. But long-suffering. Now, while we can benefit ourselves by having the fruit of the Spirit, and remember what we've been saying these last few weeks, if you're saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which means you have the tools, you have the resources. Every believer can have every part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is not there are a few for you and a few for you. It is possible for all of us to have all of these things in our lives. The reason that not every Christian exhibits all of these is because we don't cultivate them. It's not because there's a lack. Okay, I've said this before, it's about time to get the gardens out. Some of you maybe have already started your gardens and started some plants and everything. You go down to the feed store or wherever you, Rural King, or wherever you like to get your seeds, and you get your seeds and you get the hoe out and get it sharpened up and get everything all ready and get the rototiller all oiled up and gassed up and ready to go, and you have everything that you need. You have everything that you need to have a full garden. But you're going to have to go and put the seed in the ground, and you're going to have to tend it, and you're going to have to water it, and you're going to have to weed it, and you're going to have to look out at it to cultivate it, but you have it all right there. And we have what we need to have all of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives because we have the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. You're indwelled with Him. You didn't get a part of Him that I didn't get. He's a person. You can't have a part of Him. Okay, He's not a substance. You didn't get a part of the Spirit that I didn't get. I didn't get a part of the Spirit. We all got the same Spirit, correct? You know what the Bible tells us? By one Spirit, okay, by one Spirit we are baptized. So that means we all have the resources. We all have what we need to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And while, as I said, while we can benefit personally from all of these, many of these elements in the fruit of the Spirit, many of them are manifest in our treatment of others and how we treat other people. And they help us in our relationships and our dealings with other people. And so we start to look at some specifically: long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. These really apply, we can benefit from them, but these really apply in our relationships and our treatment to other people. Because let me tell you what, you have not for one second had a problem being long-suffering with yourself. You will put up with anything from yourself, won't you? Are we not all a bunch of King Davids? I'm not near as bad as this one over here or that one over there. I mean, don't we, when we get in the flesh, don't we kind of think that sometimes? You just never have to be long-suffering with yourself. I mean, come on, who would have to be long-suffering with this? I mean, who would? This, you don't laugh there. That was not one for laughing, okay? Who in the world would ever have to? Because, I mean, come on, we look in the mirror and we say, well, that guy, he never talks too much. He knows just when to shut up. That guy right there, he never gets on people's nerves. That guy never goes too far. Oh, but everybody else, they could use a lesson from us, couldn't we? Come on, you don't have to be long-suffering with yourself. And do you not put up with things in your own life that you wouldn't dare even think about putting up with from somebody else? When we get in the flesh and we get carnal sometimes, we do that. Okay, you remember David? Didn't go to battle like he was supposed to. Lusted. Took a woman that wasn't his. She conceived a child. Got her husband drunk. So sent him home hoping that he could, it would look like it was the Uriah's child. And what a man Uriah was, wasn't he? What a man. And then sent him back out to the army with his own death warrant. Delivered his own death warrant to the captain. Had him killed. Then God took the child. And Nathan comes in and says, hey, there's a guy who had plenty of lambs. And there was another man that only had one. And it was like his own child. And he nurtured it. And it slept with him. And he loved this. And the guy that had many took this one from him. And David was so outraged. Just took another man's wife and committed adultery with her and had the man killed. And David was outraged over this lamb. Wasn't David a lot more long-suffering with his own sin and his own self than he was with this hypothetical person which ended up being him? Come on, when we get in the flesh, we just tend to accept a lot more from ourselves than we do from other people. We're a lot more long-suffering with ourselves than we are with others. And you know what? The biblical model is the exact opposite of that. I ought to tolerate nothing in my own life and tolerate more in yours. I should be more long-suffering with you and hold myself under the microscope. We all ought to be so much harder on ourselves than we are on others, but we flip it around. We turn it around all the time. But the Bible says that we are to be long-suffering. And don't confuse long-suffering with patience. They are not the same thing. We're going to look at that tonight. They are not the same thing. One is an element of the other, but they're not the same thing. What is the definition of long-suffering? It means this: bearing injuries or provocation for a long time. Patient, because it's a part of it, not easily provoked. So it's not just patient, it's being patient when you're being hurt. Bearing injuries. When someone is doing you wrong and you're experiencing pain and they're treating you unfairly. And come on, there are times in our lives when you and I claim to be treated unfairly by somebody else and we're really not. But how about this? There are times when we are treated unfairly. There are times when we're completely in the right. There are times when, you know what? I've got every shred of biblical evidence behind me, and I am right, and this person is wrong for acting that way. And long suffering still comes into play. So sometimes we think we're treated unfairly, and you know what? Sometimes we are. Sometimes we are. But if we would just turn that around and think, how unfairly have I treated Christ? You know, a friend of mine, I know he's not the only person to say it, but a friend of mine said one time, you don't want God to give you what's fair. He is a fair and just God. But in a way, you don't want what's fair because you really don't want what's coming to you. We don't want what we deserve. I'll take grace. I'll take mercy. I really don't want what I've got coming to me. And so, oftentimes, though, we think, you know, we have to be vindicated and we have to be, we have to get this justification, even though God said what? He said, vengeance is mine. But we think, you know, we think we have to retaliate instead of having having this long suffering. But what I was going to say was this. Sometimes we think, well, this isn't fair, this isn't fair, this isn't fair. It's not fair that the sin of Adam came down to me. I'm not the one that messed up in the garden. Well, no, you're not, but shall we start listing your sin? Shall I start listing mine? No, I'd rather not. Because I'd rather none of us have to plug our ears and close our eyes. And I mean, come on, if we put a screen up here and put a projector up here and said, all right, folks, we're going to start right over here with Sister Phyllis, or we'll start right here with Pastor. We're going to go around the room and we're just going to show a film, and it's going to flash all the sins that each one of us has individually. We couldn't make it to that. Nobody would sit here. We couldn't make it to that door fast enough. I mean, we'd be tripping each other, shoving each other. It would be you see them cartoons where 10 guys run for one door and all get jammed, or Three Stooges, you know, they were always trying to go through that door and they're getting stuck. We'd all be stuck in that door, wouldn't we? I mean, they'd have to butter us up to grease us and get us out of that door. We'd be jammed up. We don't want to show what we've done. Let's exclude what we've done. Let's just show the thoughts we've had in the last 3 or 4 months. You know what? We're all still running for the door, and we don't want to display that, okay? But we think, well, it's not fair. It's not fair. You know, Adam's the one that sinned. Why did that have to come down to me and all that? Look, you want to talk about fair? Jesus Christ chose to leave glory when he had nothing to gain. He's complete. He's God. We said this a couple weeks ago. He doesn't need us. Praise God, he wants us, but he doesn't need us. We need him. We have to have him, okay? He left glory, became one of his creation. How embarrassing. He left glory, became one of his creation, so that he could live a perfect, sinless life, go to a cross, sinless, innocent, give his life, come back from the grave for a world full of people that a very large number of them were never going to trust him and never going to even believe that he did it to start with. Maybe one thing if everybody got saved. But he did that knowing the vast amount of people that weren't even going to put their faith in him for salvation. There's an innocent man that went to the cross for my sin, the guilty one. None of us have any right to talk about what's fair. Who was treated unfairly? Christ. That's not fair for an innocent man to die for the sin of somebody else. That isn't fair. But it is love, and it is the sacrifice that Christ paid for us. But oftentimes we look at our sin, and then we look at somebody else, and we think, I don't know why, but we have excuses for ourselves. And then when somebody else, you know, with us it's a reason, and with somebody else it's an excuse, right? We have a reason for why we messed up, but with somebody else, oh, that's just an excuse. That's just a piddly excuse. But to be long-suffering, we're talking about when something is happening to us and it's causing injury, it's causing pain. It's troubling us. It's not just being patient. You know, patience is just waiting. Being patient is just waiting on something, just calmly waiting on something. As a matter of fact, whenever we think about patience, we just think of calmly, quietly, waiting for something to transpire. And that is a part of long-suffering, but in long-suffering, what happens is we're doing that while we're being hurt. Somebody is hurting us, or there's a situation, somebody's talking about us, somebody's gossiping about us, somebody's running our name through the mud, and somebody, just about the time you get all the mud knocked off that you put on yourself, then somebody else runs you through the mud, and it hurts. It hurts. And you know what hurts? Sometimes it's the people that were supposed to love you the most that do it. Sometimes it's the people that you stand next to and worship God next to. Sometimes it's the people that are the last people on earth that should have hurt you. Sometimes they hurt you, and sometimes you hurt the last people you ever should have hurt. And so that pain, people do things and it causes pain and it brings pain. And how do we respond? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is to respond with long suffering. Notice that suffering is a part of that word. Notice that the suffering hasn't gone away, but it's how we endure it. It's how we take it. It's how we deal with it. If you turn back to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. Pardon me. Want to be like your Father? Your heavenly Father? Not your earthly Father. Not everybody has an earthly Father that they want to be like. Some people look at their earthly Father and say, man, they're just, no, I better not go the path he went. And some look at their earthly father and say, yeah, he was a good example and I can follow after him. But our heavenly Father, we ought want to be like him. Exodus 34, 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. This is a trait of our Heavenly Father, long-suffering. You want to know how long-suffering the Lord is? All right, first of all, just look in the Old Testament His dealings with the nation of Israel. I think we said something about that this morning. How many times? How many times did He have to pour out His wrath on them and reprimand them and bring them back from their idols, and then they would make their solemn vow, and we're going to follow you from now on. And then here came another false god, and there they were again, and over and over and over and over and over again. Just with Israel, how long-suffering has God been? How about the fact that they are still a nation today, and they still don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Boy, that takes some long-suffering, doesn't it? I mean, here He created them. They were His chosen people, and it was through them that He brought to us Christ the Messiah. And they've so spurned Him through the Bible and even today. Long-suffering just with them. Okay, we come to the New Testament. We look at Christ. We look at everything that He endured. in his ministry, and then the Pharisees and the scribes and everything, that just all the trouble they were constantly trying to cause and always trying to catch him. And then you look at the trial and then the crucifixion and everything that he's endured. Then you look at Christ now and everything that we continue to put him through, and you look at his long suffering. How about just your own relationship with Christ? Come on. How long-suffering has Christ had to be with you? I don't know about you, but I look at myself before God and I think, I can't even fathom, I can't even wrap my mind around the fact that His mercy never ends. Because if anybody has ever tested His grace and His mercy, it's this guy right here. And I got a feeling some of you probably think that about yourselves too. Boy, I tell you what, I have just... Do you ever just sometimes think, man, why doesn't He ever just get tired of me and give up on me? Well, if He were you, He would. Because you'd give up on you. Not as quickly as you'd give up on somebody else, but you'd give up on somebody else, you'd give up on you. But aren't you thankful that He's not you? That He's not one of us? And so, just the long suffering that Christ has had to have with me. You know, there's a reason why marriage and the family is so important to God. There's just hardly a biblical truth that cannot be illustrated in the family. The relationship of parents to their children and spouses one to another, there is just hardly anything that you cannot illustrate. I go back to the family constantly when I'm illustrating things. And so, you think about your kids, and you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them, and then you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them, and then you go and you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them, and when they're three, you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them. And you say, why don't you listen? Why do I have to keep telling you? You ever stop and wonder if God is looking at you right now saying, why don't you listen? Why do I have to keep telling you? I got a feeling we try Him a lot more than our children try us. Why don't you stop? I've been telling you and telling you, and you've read it and you've read it and you've read it and you know it, and you've heard that preacher preach on it, and you've been ministered to on this, and you keep reading this and you know. Now why don't you get it? That is long suffering. We ought not be that way. We ought get it, shouldn't we? We ought, that's it, get it. But sometimes we don't. And so, He has to be long-suffering. Let me back that up. He doesn't have to be long-suffering toward us because He doesn't owe us anything. He chooses to be long-suffering toward us. If you go to Psalm 86, Psalm 86 and find verse 15. Again, do you want to be like your father? But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. We could use some of that, couldn't we? Toward one another. And gracious, we could use some of that. Long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. That means it doesn't run out. It means we can't exhaust it. It means there's no point where God says, all right, that's it. He never says to His children, that's it, you're done, you get no more. But how quick are we to write people off? Come on, we write people off, church. We write them off. Though that's not at all what has been shown to us through Christ. We've never been written off. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Like a couple more verses here. Romans chapter 2. How long-suffering was God with you before you got saved? Some of us got saved earlier than some later. You know, people get saved all different ages and different stages and parts of their life. But come on, how long-suffering was God with you before you got saved? Especially someone who was saved late in life. Can you not see the grace of God that He allowed you to stay alive long enough to put your faith in Him for salvation? That can you not look back? Some people can look back and say, I should have died there. That should have killed me. That should have killed me. And only by the grace of God did I get one more day to throw in the towel and say, you're right. Everything you say about me is right. I'm wrong. I'm putting all my faith and trust in your Son, Jesus. How long-suffering was He with you before you got saved? Romans chapter 2, I believe it's verse 4 that we want. That's what this is talking about. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? So a lost person ought to look. Remember, we've talked about this here recently, I think in Sunday school. We talked about how God's blessings, God blesses lost people and saved people. We know that because every good gift comes from Him, right? So a lost person who is able to get up in the morning and go to work and they have food to eat, that's a blessing from God because it's a good gift. So we experience God's blessings even before we get saved. Away with this teaching that, you know, the blessings, that God only blesses Christians, and that He only blesses certain Christians, and sow a big enough seed of faith and get an even bigger blessing. Away with all of that. It rains on the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on the just and the unjust. Correct? Okay? So, I thought we about had a visitor, didn't you? So, the Bible makes it clear that if every good gift is from Him, then that means that lost people are enjoying the blessings of God before they ever get saved. And so what this verse is telling us here in Romans, we ought to look and see how long-suffering God has been with us, and we ought to look and see all the blessings, and we weren't even saved, and that ought lead us to repentance. Our attitude ought be, why have you let me get this far? It ought lead us, His goodness ought lead us to repentance. What's the Bible say? Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. That's what led us to repentance. You didn't get saved because you had an overwhelming, burning fire of a desire to go out and please God with your life. No, you didn't. Hopefully you got that after you got saved, but you did not get saved because you woke up one morning and said, you know what, I just want to live my life for God. You got saved because you didn't want to go to hell. Because somebody preached the gospel to you and you realized, that's right. God is right about me. I'm a sinner. I'm going to spend eternity in hell. I don't want to go there. What can I do about it? Then somebody told you about a man, God, who became man while still remaining God. Don't dwell on that one too long, get a migraine. Somebody told you about how God became a man and loved you so much that He was innocent and took your sin to the cross, and we see that love, and that leads us to repentance. And we love Him because of what He's done for us. We love selfishly, don't we? I told you we went to a wedding yesterday. And Amy and I gave the bride and groom a letter for them to read later on, and it was things that we wish someone had told us 17 years ago when we got married. Because we didn't come from strong biblical, we came from homes that went to church, but we didn't come from strong Christian families. And so there are things that we've learned just within the last 4 or 5 years that we wish somebody had counseled us on those things before. We wish we knew those truths. We wish we understood the picture of marriage better back then. But one of the things that we put in this letter was we were telling the bride and groom, we told the groom, you love Jesus more than you love her. And we told the bride, you love Jesus more than you love him. It's the only way you'll ever be able to love each other correctly. Isn't that, I mean, don't most people get married and because of how their spouse treats them, what they're going to get out of it, what they're going to benefit from it? We're selfish. We live selfishly. We love selfishly. What am I going to get? I like the way they make me feel. I like what they do for me. She makes me feel like a king. He makes me feel like a queen. Oh, you deserve girls have been told this, you deserve a man that worships the ground that you walk on. Uh-uh. Know what you need. Sorry. What you need is a man or a woman that worships God and puts God first. You know, people say, you deserve a man who will worship the ground that you walk on. No, you need a man that worships God, and guess what? You don't deserve that. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve. What have we done to deserve good, loving spouses? That's a blessing from God. We don't deserve that. What have we done to earn that? What a blessing if you don't have to wonder where your spouse is when you go to bed at night. What a blessing to know where they're at. What a blessing to know who they're with and not have to worry about it. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that? That's a blessing from God. We don't deserve anything from Him. So we look at God, and according to this verse, we look at His goodness toward us, and that ought to lead us to repentance, because He's just been so long-suffering, and He gave me all of this time to get saved. And we look back at times that He could have taken our lives. We look back at times that should have been the last, the curtain should have come down on us, shouldn't it? That should have been it right there. I should have been done right there. And I can't answer that question. Why do some people get more time and others don't? That's all between them and God. I just know that if God gave you time, He was long-suffering toward you. If He gave you time to get saved. And we ought to remember that in our treatment to other people. We got to give people time, not just in salvation, in learning, in growing. Let me read to you, if you want to write this down, I'm just going to read it real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Paul says, God showed His longsuffering in His dealing with me so that other people could see it. Well, we look in the Bible, if ever there was a man God had long suffering with, was it not the Apostle Paul? When we look at his hatred toward God and toward God's people, and he thought he was doing God's work, thought he was doing God a favor in his persecution of the church, and you know what? At any time, God could have just struck him down. But what did he do? He had long suffering and let him get on that road. Gave him enough time to get on that road and then to see him and to put his faith in him and to be saved. Church, you just have to stop and think about how long-suffering God was with you before you got saved, and then how long-suffering He is now that we are saved as we try. And you said, well, I'm trying. I know, and as we try, we mess up, and God has to keep being long-suffering with us. And boy, but I try, and I mess up. And yeah, aren't you glad He's long-suffering? But I don't want to mess up. Yeah, I know, but it's a good thing He's long-suffering because we do mess up. We have to keep that in our minds whenever we're hurt. And we are wronged. And whenever we think we deserve some kind of justification, we have to remember how long-suffering God has been toward each and every one of us. We give up on people too easy, too early. We count them out. You know, In boxing, if you get knocked down three times in a row, it's called a technical knockout. How many times do people, they get knocked down one time and their Christian brothers and sisters want to throw in the towel right then? But we think we deserve to get knocked down 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 50 times. But somebody else, boy, we just don't have time to wait. And somebody hurts you and you say, oh, that's strike one, and you don't even think about giving them a strike two or a strike three. But if we'd stop and look at ourselves with Christ, we're on strike whatever. You want to count that high? Long-suffering is bearing injuries and provocation with patience. It also means not easily provoked. Have you got a chip on your shoulder? I mean, come on, have you got a chip on your shoulder? Are you a target for instigators and antagonizers? Are you the kind of person they just love to go after because it's just so easy to make you mad? Or are you the person that people avoid because, you know, it's just so easy to make them mad? Are you easily provoked, or can you take it? Can we take it? So we stop and we think about how God has been long-suffering with us before we get saved, and then even after we get saved, and that ought to affect us as we deal with each other. We ought to keep that in mind and say, you know what, I had a rough time with that too. You know what, I struggled with that too. You know what, it took me a while to learn that too. And we ought to keep that in mind whenever we deal with other people. And I know it's hard, but we're expected to do that, and the Spirit can help us to do that. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and we're about done. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, this is a verse that I've got it written on my board back there. This is one that I'm trying to remind myself of from time to time. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now look, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. What does that mean? Forbearing one another in love. Do you put up with people just because you figure God wants you to put up with people? Or can you take it on the chin because you love the person that's throwing the punch? What is it? Is it, well, God says I have to put up with this? Or is it, they didn't mean that? I know they didn't mean that. I know they're just hurt. I know they're just angry. What did Christ say on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They were blinded by their sin. Do we just take a hit and that's it? Don't you get near me again. I'm not letting you get close enough to hit me again. Or is it, you know what? And like that, that hurt. But I love you. I realize, look, you're my brother, my sister in Christ. I know this isn't what you meant to do. Forbearing one another in love. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. means this unity that we have, this spirit of peace that we have, if we're going to keep it, we're going to have to learn to be long-suffering. We're going to have to learn to get the chips off the shoulder, and we're going to have to learn how to take a few things and be patient with people. And you say, well, that just means that we have to let people just beat us up. It just means we're supposed to just keep our mouth shut while people walk all over us. That means we're supposed to just take a beating from people and never say anything. You know where I'm going with this? There was a man who let people beat him and spit on him and mock him and walk all over him without saying a word out of long-suffering and forbearance. Why? Love. Love. Who's our ultimate example for everything in life but Christ Jesus? I got to think if he could take that for a bunch of people that were never going to trust him for salvation, I think you and I could take it from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't you think we can? None of you have ever spit on me. I stay clean shaven so you can't pull out my beard. And because I can't grow one. I'd look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Nobody's ever come in here with a stick. Pastor, you're getting it today. We ought to be long-suffering toward one another because of that. I want to look at one more thing. If you go to 2 Corinthians. No. While we're back here, let's go to 1 Peter real quick. 1 Peter 2:18. This is what we'll close with. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You say, how does that fit in? Well, you know what? The world, the lost, they're gonna treat you unfairly too. And they're gonna see Christ in how we deal with that. They're gonna see Christ in how we respond to that. Okay, so it's other Christians and it's the world as well. Now you can go to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time. That's what I wanted. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You say, what's that have to do with this? Life is not fair for anybody. It's even less fair for a Christian, isn't it? Yea, all who will live godly shall suffer. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look, here's a list of things we're going to have to endure, and we're going to have to learn how to be long-suffering. We're going to have to learn how to take these things. We're going to be a proper representation of our Lord and of our Savior. So how long-suffering are you to others? Whether it's the lost or it's a Christian brother or sister and their treatment toward you, how long-suffering are you? What are you willing to endure? Let me read to you Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then 2 Peter 3:9 is what we'll close with. We look at Jesus and everything that he suffered for us and what he was willing to endure for us. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So here's what I hope we walk out of here with tonight. How much are you willing to endure and suffer from somebody else, whether they're lost or saved? How long-suffering are you willing to be? If you can look at the Word and look at yourself and let the Holy Spirit deal with you and say, you know what, I'm failing here. I am failing. You know what will help? One, looking unto Christ and considering how long-suffering he was with us before we got saved, that he gave us time and space to repent, and then afterwards, everything that as we stumble and mess up and try and goof up and sometimes disgrace him, how long-suffering he is to us. If we could keep that in mind, it would help us as we look at others and say, you know what, after everything I've put Christ through, I can handle this. I can put up with this because he's more important. So how long-suffering are you? What are you willing to endure? Look back at what Christ has done for you, what he has suffered for you, what he has endured for you. And let's keep that in mind when the world hurts us, when other Christians hurt us, when family hurts us, when friends hurt us. You say, oh, but you just don't know. You just don't understand what they did. What am I always saying? I don't have to. I don't have to understand it. Jesus does. He does. And you're not getting strength from me, you're getting strength from him. So that's all that matters. So how's our long-suffering? Let's meditate upon that this week and give some thought to that this week. Because you know what? I got a feeling tomorrow it's going to be tried. I don't know, maybe in the car on the way home it's going to be tried. I don't know. I got a feeling it's going to be tried before we meet again. Let's ask God to help us keep things in perspective and look to him as we deal with this. Let's pray, and then we will forego our hymn of invitation tonight. Let's just pray, and then we'll be dismissed after the prayer. Brother Denny Brewer, would you dismiss us tonight?